You're listening to Science in Action from the BBC World Service. A bit later on, we'll hear why the world's most expensive space physics experiment could be scrapped. $700 million into the project. This rumbling is the sinister sound of an earthquake in the distance. It's speeded up 120 times so we can hear it, but it's still nothing compared with what it must feel like to be at the centre of a quake, as survivors in the Turkish province of Bingöl can testify. The trouble is, no one can actually predict exactly when an earthquake's going to happen. Geologists know where the fault lines are, which tells them the risky areas, but it's virtually impossible to tell which fault is going to break and exactly when. But they can detect an earthquake as soon as it begins. Professor Richard Allen at the University of Wisconsin told Science in Action producer Martin Redfern how he's working to turn that into a useful early warning system.
What we've been working on is even more rapid detection. And by that we mean detecting earthquakes and predicting what the ground motion is going to be. Not predicting the earthquake. We detect the earthquake, but then we predict the ground motion. And we're trying to do that in a matter of seconds. And by doing that in seconds, we can actually put out a warning of what the ground, anticipated ground motion is going to be before people actually feel it.
Isn't it a bit late then? I mean, what can people do in a few seconds?
Well, yeah, I mean, it certainly is a very short period of time, you know, with which to react. But people certainly can do things. With a fraction of a second, you can get underneath the desk that you're sat in front of, and that will actually protect you from falling debris from the ceiling, lighting and things like that, bookshelves. And so you can reduce the personal injury associated with earthquakes that way. The other use of this kind of warning is within industrial complexes, where we can use a few seconds in order to initiate or actually shut down some kind of manufacturing process. People can use a few seconds to get away from dangerous chemicals, get away from dangerous machinery, and things like that. But I think those are all things that we can do today. I think one of the most exciting prospects for this kind of approach to seismic hazard mitigation is in the future, over the course of the next decade or so, we can actually start to build infrastructure that can respond to this information. And so, for example, in Japan right now, they're building buildings with active response systems. These are buildings that can actually change their mechanical properties within a fraction of a second so that they can better withstand earthquakes.
So how does this actually work? How do you hear an earthquake coming?
Well, when an earthquake occurs deep in the Earth, the energy pulse which radiates from it, it's the energy that does the damage, the energy pulse travels as two different types of wave. The first type of wave is the P wave, or primary wave, and it travels fastest and therefore arrives first. And then the other type of wave is the S wave, or secondary wave. It travels more slowly. It travels at about half the speed of the P wave, and so it arrives later. It's the S wave, which comes in later, which has most of the energy and therefore does most of the damage. So what this system does is it detects this P wave energy and uses the information contained within that arrival to determine or estimate what the hazard associated with this event is. And by taking that approach, there's the potential to actually have a warning before any of that S energy, which is the energy that does the damage, arrives at the surface of the Earth, i.e. we can give a warning before people really feel the ground motion.
I guess you can radio that warning at the speed of light.
Right, that's exactly right. And if you have an earthquake source region, which is some distance from the region you're trying to protect, such as in Mexico, for example, where they have a subduction zone that's a significant distance, hundreds of kilometers away from Mexico City, that they try to protect. So they have seismometers out close to the subduction zone. They detect the earthquake, and then they transmit the warning using radio signals traveling at the speed of light, as you say, back to Mexico City, and therefore they get about 60 seconds of warning. Now, in Southern California, it's actually more tricky to do this because the fault, the source of this energy, is directly beneath the metropolitan area. So therefore, we have to be using this P energy. But then, as you say, we gather this information and we can issue the warning electronically. So we're issuing the warning at the speed of light.
Now, Southern California must be about the most intensively instrumented part of the Earth's crust anywhere.
That's absolutely right.
How much use would something like this be in some other parts of the world that might be under particular threat from an earthquake hazard?
Well, that's actually one of the areas that we're currently doing active research in. And some examples of that might be, for example, in India, there was a very large magnitude earthquake, the Bhuj earthquake in India a few years ago. Other regions would include Iran, perhaps some parts of China. And what we would do in this scenario is we would put out a small cluster of stations. I'm talking about 4, 5, maybe 6 stations around a town or city that we wanted to offer some kind of protection to. And using that cluster of stations, we would detect the initiation of the earthquake and estimate the hazard that's associated with it, and then issue some kind of alarm. This system isn't really capable of preventing damage to buildings, but what it is capable of doing is reducing the loss of life and reducing the number of injuries. And the reality is that it's in developing countries that you see the most significant loss of life, because the quality of the buildings are generally less. And so it's in these developing countries that there's the most potential for the utility of this kind of approach, I think.
For the people of Bingöl in southeast Turkey, there was no warning this time. But there's a big city on the other side of the country where an early warning could still save many lives, Istanbul.
Istanbul lies along the North Anatolian Fault, which is a long fault that extends east-west across Turkey. And there's been a sequence of earthquakes which have gradually been making their way from the east to the west along this fault, the last one being the 1999 Izmit earthquake, which many people probably remember. It killed about 20,000 people. It was a massive earthquake. So the next segment of the fault is next to Istanbul. So one of the concerns is that there could be a significant earthquake in the Istanbul region in the near future. So I'm currently working with seismologists in Istanbul to start to test whether the seismic network that they have there would be capable of issuing some kind of warning in the event of that kind of earthquake.
Professor Richard Allen from the University of Wisconsin. Ask almost anyone in any country to name the greatest scientist in the world, and chances are they'll all come up with the same man, Albert Einstein.